Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the General Epistle of James, chapter 2, the verses 14 through 24. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. The text for the sermon this morning is taken from this passage of God's word, James 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham was called the friend of God. Dear friends, normally when we think of Abraham, we think of him as the father of the faithful, or the father of believers. And we do that for good reason, because that is how he is designated in Romans chapter 4. In Romans 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul, speaking of Abraham, writes this. He says, And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe. Then a few verses later, he writes this. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. In both of these passages, Abraham is described as the father of believers. But there is another phrase that is sometimes connected with Abraham, and it is this, the friend of God. This is how he's referred to in our text in James 2, verse 23. There James writes, And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. In this verse, Abraham is called the friend of God. What is more, he is the only person in the Bible to have this distinction. Yes, I know Jesus called his disciples his friends, but only Abraham is called the friend of God. Now, what exactly does that mean, and what lessons can we learn from this? How does this deepen our understanding of what it means to have communion with God, which is what we have been considering in these past few weeks together? Well, this is what we'd like to consider in our sermon this morning. We'll do that under the theme, Abraham's Friendship with God. Abraham's Friendship with God. And we'll consider first the explanation for this friendship, secondly, the evidence of this friendship, and thirdly, the wonder of this friendship. Abraham is called in Scripture the friend of God. Well, what is a friend? A friend is more than just a casual acquaintance. The dictionary defines a friend as a person you know well and regard with affection and trust. Well, such was Abraham to God. God regarded Abraham with affection and trust. Abraham was God's friend. Now, at first glance, this appears to be rather surprising. Even, for some of us perhaps, somewhat shocking. How can anyone, even a man of faith like Abraham, be called the friend of God? Is this not putting sinful man on the same level as a holy and righteous God? Well, to some extent that is true. And we must be careful never to do this. We must be very careful never to bring God down to the level of sinful man. God is and always will be holy and transcendent, and we must always treat him as such. Nevertheless, Abraham is called the friend of God. In fact, we may say that all believers are the friends of God. Well, how do we explain this? How did Abraham become the friend of God? Did Abraham simply wake up one day and decide to become friends with God? Not at all. When God established contact with Abraham, Abraham did not even know who God was. Abraham worshipped idols. What is more, because of his fall in Adam, his heart was at enmity with God. Abraham would not have made friends with God even if he wanted to. That being the case, how then did Abraham become the friend of God? The answer is simply this. Abraham became friends with God because God made friends with Abraham. We have a record of this in Genesis chapter 12, especially the verses 1 through 4. There we read that one day, while Abraham was living in Ur of the Chaldees, his hometown, the Lord told him to leave his country and his family and to go to a land that he would show him. Then, as if to encourage Abraham to do as he had commanded, God promised to make of him a great nation. He promised to bless him and make his name great and make him a blessing. God said he would bless those who would bless him and curse those who would curse him. And in him, he said, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Here in these verses, we have the record of how God and Abraham became friends. It was not because Abraham decided to become friends with God, but it was because God decided to become friends with Abraham. Now, why is that? Why did God decide to become friends with Abraham? Did Abraham perhaps do something to make God want to become friends with him? Did Abraham manifest certain qualities that made him likable to God? Not at all. As I noted a few moments ago, when God established contact with Abraham, Abraham was a heathen idolater. Why then did God become friends with Abraham? In a word, grace. God became friends with Abraham not because of anything in Abraham, for there was nothing. God became a friend of Abraham by grace and grace alone. And that is still true today, my friends. Becoming a friend of God is not something we do. It is something God does. God becomes friends with us out of grace for Jesus' sake. And how thankful we should be that that is the case. My friends, if we had to become friends with God, there would be no hope for us whatsoever. We would surely perish in our sins. And why is that? Well, the answer is because by nature we are at enmity with him. We hate him, and we want to have nothing to do with him. And God knows this. And therefore he does what we cannot and will not do for ourselves. He reaches down from heaven in his condescension, and he becomes friends with us. Yes, he becomes friends with those who by nature are his enemies. Well, what about you this morning? Are you a friend of God like Abraham? Perhaps you say, how can I tell? Let's consider that under our second point. We have seen that Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, how do we know that he was the friend of God? Well, we know this because of the evidence. And what is this evidence? What is the evidence of Abraham's friendship with God? Well, there are several things that we can mention here. First of all, it is clear from the scriptures that Abraham obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God. When God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and told him to go to a land that he would show him, Abraham obeyed. When God commanded Abraham to circumcise himself, his son Ishmael, and all of his male servants, again, Abraham obeyed. When God commanded Abraham to circumcise, to take his son, his only son Isaac, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, again, Abraham obeyed. Whatever God wanted Abraham to do, Abraham did. And he did it gladly, willingly, without question. Secondly, Abraham worshipped God. When Abraham entered into the land of Canaan, and God promised to give him the entire land for an everlasting possession, Abraham built an altar and worshipped God. A short time later, when he arrived at Bethel, he built another altar, and again he worshipped God. After Abraham returned from Egypt, narrowly escaping death at the hand of Pharaoh, again Abraham worshipped God. After he made a covenant with Abimelech in Beersheba, Abraham worshipped God. After the angel of the Lord prevented him from sacrificing his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, Abraham noticed a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. And what did Abraham do? He worshipped God. Abraham was a man who worshipped God. Thirdly, Abraham honored God. We have a good illustration of this in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham had just defeated Chedorlaomer and his allies in battle, and now he was on his way home. As he made his way past Salem, Melchizedek, king of Salem, and priest of the Most High God, came out to meet him with bread and wine to congratulate him on his victory. After blessing him, we read that Abraham gave him tithes of all the spoil. Why did Abraham do this? He did it to honor God. Abraham knew that his great victory over Chedorlaomer was not owing to anything in himself. It was solely due to the grace and mercy and power of God. And to show his gratitude, Abraham gave a tithe of all the spoils to Melchizedek. And in that way, Abraham honored God. Fourthly, Abraham conversed with God. The Bible records three occasions in which Abraham conversed with God. The first is in Genesis 15, verses 2 and 3. There Abraham conversed with God about the fact that he had no heir. And then the second time is in Genesis 17, where Abraham conversed with God about the fact that Sarah would bear a son in her old age, and pleaded with God to allow Ishmael to live before him. The third time is in Genesis chapter 18. On that occasion, God revealed to Abraham that he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham pleaded with God to spare the city for the sake of the righteous in it. Abraham was a man who conversed with God. Fifthly and finally, Abraham believed God. The best illustration of this is in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham had just expressed his concern to God that he did not have an heir. And then God told him to look up into the sky and to count the stars. And Abraham did. And God said to Abraham, "So shall your descendants be." And then we read in chapter 15, verse 6, "And he," that is Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Abraham believed God. And so it is clear that Abraham was friends with God. There is much evidence in the scriptures to prove this. But as you and I know, friendship is a two-way street. Yes, Abraham was friends with God, but was God also friends with Abraham? And to this question, we may also answer yes. Yes, he was. And how do we know? How do we know that God was friends with Abraham? What is the evidence of this? Well, first of all, God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to him when he told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He spoke to him when he arrived in the land of Canaan. He spoke to him after Lot went to settle in the plain of Sodom. He spoke to him about his plan to give him a son. He spoke to him when he established his covenant with him. He spoke to him about his plan to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God spoke to Abraham. Secondly, God protected Abraham. He protected him from Pharaoh and Abimelech when Abraham told them that Sarah was his sister. He protected him from Chedorlaomer, whom he attacked in order to rescue his nephew Lot. He protected him from the hostile Canaanites among whom he dwelt and lived. God protected Abraham. Thirdly, God entered into covenant with Abraham. The first time he did so was in Genesis 15. In this passage, God commanded Abraham to take various animals, to cut them in two and place them side by side with an aisle in between. Later that day, God walked between the pieces as a sign of his commitment to Abraham. In effect, God was saying, if the things that I promised you do not come to pass, may I be cut in two, just like these animals here. The second time God entered into covenant with Abraham was in Genesis 17. In this passage, God confirmed the covenant that he made with Abraham in Genesis 15. Only this time, he gave Abraham the sign of circumcision and promised that he would have an heir. On both of these occasions, God entered into covenant, a lasting, binding agreement with Abraham. Fourthly, God was faithful to Abraham. All the promises that God made to Abraham came to pass. God promised Abraham a seed, and he gave him Ishmael and Isaac. God promised Abraham land, and he gave him all the land of Canaan. Now, to be sure, he did not yet take possession of it, but his descendants did several hundred years later. The point is, God was faithful to his promise. God also promised to make him a blessing, and Abraham was a blessing. For from him came the promised Messiah, who would draw all men from every tongue and tribe and nation to himself. Yes, God was faithful to Abraham. There was, therefore, much evidence of the friendship between God and Abraham. There was evidence of the friendship between Abraham and God, and there is evidence of the friendship between God and Abraham. They were friends. Well, what about us this morning? Is there evidence of this friendship among us also? Well, to be sure, there is plenty of evidence of friendship from God's side. For has God not spoken to us, just as he did to Abraham? Oh, to be sure, he has not spoken to us in dreams and visions. No, he has done much more than that. He has spoken to us in his holy and infallible word, which is the complete revelation of God. Abraham did not have the word, but we do. And is that not evidence of God's friendship toward us? Secondly, has God not protected us? Do we not have the freedom to come together for worship every Lord's Day? Does God not preserve our lives, giving us health and strength, food and drink, shelter and clothing, and every material blessing? And has he also not entered into covenant with us? When did he do that? He did that when we were baptized. At that very moment, the triune God came to us. He attached his name to our name. He promised us all the blessings of his salvation if we but turn to him in faith and repentance. And has God not been faithful to us? Has he ever rewarded us according to our iniquities? Has he ever turned his back on us? Has he ever broken trust with us? Not once. God has always been faithful. And so we see then that there is much evidence of God's friendship toward us. But the question is there evidence of our friendship towards him? Do we obey him? When God asks us to do something, do we do it without grumbling and complaining, gladly and cheerfully and with a willing heart? Do we also worship him? Do we worship him at home, alone, and with our families? Do we come together for worship twice every Lord's Day, not just in the morning but also at night? Do we worship him not just on Sundays, but also during the week? Do we also honor him by tithing a portion of our income, by donating our time and talents to building up the Church of Christ and his kingdom, by living a godly life before our classmates, our friends, our employees, our employers, and our co-workers? Do we also believe him? Do we believe his promises? Have we embraced them in the way of faith and repentance? Even more importantly, have we embraced his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior? Are we trusting in him and his atoning sacrifice on the cross as the only hope and ground of our salvation? Oh, if our answer to these questions is yes, then we may say that we have friendship with God. But if our answer to these questions is no, then, my friends, we are still at enmity with Him. And that means our heart must be changed. The Lord must do a miracle of grace within us. We must be born again. Well, which is it for you this morning? My friends, God has shown that He is willing to be friends with us. But are we also willing to be friends with Him? Are we such friends this morning? Oh, but someone says, I see some evidence of these things in my life, but not as much as I would like. And what evidence I do see is so imperfect. There are still so many sins and shortcomings in my life, I do not dare to say that I am a friend of God. Well, if that is so, then listen carefully as we consider our third and final point this morning. And that is the wonder of this friendship. Abraham was a friend of God. We should not think, however, that Abraham was perfect or that he was somehow better than you or me. Oh, to be sure, he was a great man of faith, but he was still a sinner. We know this because the Bible records several incidents in which Abraham failed to act as a true friend of God. The first was when Abraham was in Egypt. Remember how he lied about his relationship to Sarah because he feared for his life. He said that she was his sister rather than his wife. In that, Abraham sinned against God. For what should Abraham have done? He should have trusted in the Lord. You see, the Lord had promised to make of him a great nation and to give him an heir and all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. And Abraham knew this, and he believed it. But he did not live out of that belief. Abraham acted carnally. He lived by sight rather than by faith. And in doing that, he compromised his friendship with God. He failed to be a true friend of God. The second time Abraham failed to act as a true friend of God was when he married Hagar. Sarah was frustrated that she was not able to conceive. And so one day she came up with a plan. Let Abraham marry her maidservant Hagar and produce an heir through her. As it turned out, Abraham agreed to the plan. And in time, Hagar conceived and gave birth to Ishmael. But the consequences of this plan were disastrous. It strained the relationship between Abraham and Sarah, between Sarah and Hagar, and between Sarah and Ishmael. Things became so bad that eventually Sarah demanded that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away, which he did. Now we look back on this and we ask, what should Abraham have done? Well, again, he should have trusted in the Lord. Had the Lord not promised that he would give him a son through Sarah? Yes, he had. But Abraham, you see, could not wait any longer. He wanted a son, and he wanted one now. And so what did Abraham do? He took matters into his own hands. He married Hagar and tried to produce an heir through her. And in doing that, Abraham failed again. He compromised his friendship with God. And yet, my friends, and this is a great wonder, although Abraham compromised his friendship with God, God never, ever compromised his friendship with him. Never once did God forsake him. Oh, to be sure, he would have been perfectly just to do so. For Abraham had sinned against him many times, and it would have been perfectly just for God to say, "That's it, Abraham, I've had enough of you. I'm going to establish my covenant with someone else." But he did not do that. No, God remained faithful to Abraham, even when Abraham was not. And because God remained faithful, Abraham is known today as the friend of God. Well, we learn here, friends, that we do not have to be perfect to be a friend of God. Nor should we think that the moment we make a mistake, that God will break his friendship with us. No, he will never do that. He did not do that with Abraham, and he will not do that with us either. The Lord Jesus didn't do that either. You may recall in John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, that Jesus there referred to his disciples as his friends. I quote, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You see in these verses how Jesus regarded his disciples as his friends. And that, even though Peter, despite his earlier avowals, would deny him, and the rest of the disciples would forsake him and flee. Yes, he even regarded Judas as a friend. When Judas came to betray him, Jesus addressed him as a friend. He said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Now, if Jesus was a friend to his disciples, if he was a friend even to Judas who betrayed him, will he not also be a friend to those whose faith is so weak and who constantly sin against him and transgress his commandments? Oh, yes, he will. Now, that does not mean, of course, that we can go ahead and sin willfully because God will forgive us anyway. Not at all. The person who truly appreciates the faithfulness and long-suffering of God will strive with every fiber of his being to put sin to death and to do that which pleases the Lord rather than that which displeases him. This is simply to say that no matter how often we may fail God, God will never fail us. He will always be faithful, even when we are not. We may compromise our friendship with him, but thanks be to God and his grace, he will never compromise his friendship with us. And you say, why will he not do that? Well, the answer is because of Christ. Christ did two things to enable sinners like us to become and remain friends with God. First, he died on the cross. Before Christ died on the cross, there was no way sinners could be friends with God. Our sins stood in the way. But when Christ died, these sins were taken away. The obstacle was removed. And because of that, we sinners can become friends with God. But secondly, Christ lived a perfect life. In this respect, Christ is the ultimate friend of God. Whatever God required of him, he did. And when we believe on him, then all of our sins and shortcomings, also with respect to our relationship to God, are taken away. And in return, he imputes to us his righteousness. This is why Abraham could become and remain a friend of God. And this is why sinners today can become and remain a friend of God. It is all because of Christ. My friend, do you desire to become a friend of God this morning? That's only possible when we repent of sin and believe on his Son. Have you done that? If not, I urge you to do so today. There is no greater joy or privilege than to be a friend of God in Christ. They shall receive his favor both in this life and in the life to come, and they shall live and reign with him forever. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It's a great encouragement to us to hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to the Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at area code 403-254-6591. That's 254-6591. For the benefit of those listeners living in Calgary and area, I am scheduled to lead the services there on December the 28th, 2008, at 9:30 a.m. and 4 o'clock p.m. Please come and join us. That's December the 28th, 2008, at 9:30 a.m. and 4 o'clock p.m. Now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to the Banner of Truth. For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at www.frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 4 o'clock, in Lacombe at 10 and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 and 7. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week for the Banner of Truth.